Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the hipages Group Holdings Limited Q3 FY22 investor briefing. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Roby Sharon-Zipser, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the introduction. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us this morning. Today, I am joined on the line by Melissa Fahey, our CFO and COO. I know we typically don't hold conference calls at our quarterlies, but as there are a few moving parts in this one, we thought it would be useful to run through the highlights and take any questions. It's fair to say that the trade industry recovery from COVID has taken a little bit longer than we initially expected. Having been extended by the Omicron outbreak and subsequent backlog of jobs in the market. I'm pleased to say that against this challenging backdrop, we continue to deliver growth in our key metrics in Q3. At our half-year results, we flagged that revenue growth would be slower in Q3, and we delivered total revenue growth of 11% on the PCP to 15.9 million, or up 6% as expected, excluding the impact of our acquisition of Builderscrack. Recurring revenues increased by 9% on the PCP to 14.7 million, or 8% on the same basis. Subscription tradies grew by 15% on the PCP to 34,200, with hipages Australia up 4% to 30,900, and we delivered strong ARPU growth of 12% to 1,798 dollars, with hipages Australia up 18% to 1,893 dollars. We continue to invest in our strong brand, which continues to drive record consumer demand, with job volumes up 14% versus PCP to 459,000 in Q3. Organic channels are delivering strong job volume, with jobs from paid channels representing now only 21% of total jobs in Q3, with 68% of our jobs coming from repeat customers. New functionality we have been rolling out for Tradiecore has been well-received, and we have a number of other features due to be released in the coming weeks and months, as well as our payment solution developed with Stripe, which is due to go live in H1 FY23 in Tradiecore. We're also really pleased to announce that Brixton Agent signed a three-year agreement to power JLL's Services on Demand platform Australia-wide. This is a huge deal for the B&A team, and we welcome and recognize the technology strength of that business. As expected, we've seen balance beginning to return to the marketplace in the fourth quarter, with new tradie registrations up by 40% on Q2 and cancellation requests due to tradies being too busy returning to normal levels after being elevated by 30% last quarter. Churn is typically higher in Q3 than Q2 due to Christmas, and in Q4, we have started to see it return to similar levels to last year. Product features we've implemented in Q4 to provide more flexibility are also showing some positive early signs. Looking ahead, we expect market conditions and marketplace balance to continue to improve in Q4. However, the macroeconomic environment is still uncertain. As such, we are guiding to Q4 revenue being similar to Q3, with quarter-on-quarter subscription tradie growth to return in Q4. Overall, it's been a bit of a challenged quarter, but there are green shoots starting to show through in the market and plenty for us to be excited about in Q4 and beyond. Our balance sheet remains robust, with cash and funds on deposits of 12.9 million and positive operating cash flow of 2.9 million in the quarter. We are committed to continue to invest for long-term profitable growth. With that, I'll open to any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Sophie Carran from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, Roby and Melissa. Thanks for taking my questions. A couple from me, please. First, on the churn, can you provide a bit more color on what you're seeing around churn and maybe some details around which cohort of customers you're seeing churning off? Is this kind of concentrated among the smaller tradie base, or is it more sort of spread across all of the tradies?
Thanks for the question, Sophie. I'll hand that one over to Melissa to cover off. Thanks, Mel.
Thanks, Sophie. So what we've seen in Q3 is, as a seasonal impact, we do typically see churn in Q3 to be higher than Q4, and that's because of the Christmas impact when tradies go on holiday in Q2. So we've seen churn in Q3, have that seasonal uplift over Q2, but that's what we see every year. What I would say is that we've seen, I guess, an elongated recovery from COVID. So we would have expected a more gradual recovery over Q3. We haven't seen that so much. So churn was higher in Q3 as a result. However, that said, what we have seen in Q4 is for churn to start to return to more normalised levels. So in terms of where April is tracking at the moment, we're seeing that return to levels previously seen in the previous corresponding period. So there are green shoots there. We did expect that kind of more normalisation to happen in Q4, which we're starting to see that coming through. It's just been a bit of a delayed return.
Great. And maybe just a comment around marketplace balance in Q4. Can you just talk a little bit about what you're seeing in terms of job volumes versus sort of tradies taking up those jobs?
Yeah, I'll take that one, Sophie. So with the marketplace, it's a bit of an economic discussion as well. What we're seeing is still a huge amount of demand, like continuing to see record job numbers coming through. And obviously from that, we've actually tapered back our marketing spend on acquisition of jobs. So obviously I called out a 21% number for job volumes coming from paid. So that's like our SEM spend. So they're still really big numbers, but what we're all reading, and we're certainly hearing it on the ground, speaking to consumers and trades, is there is definitely a supply constraint for materials and trades. We're all reading as well the anticipated interest rate increases coming in to combat inflation, which is happening because of huge demand for services and materials that supply those services. I actually think, and it's really important to call this out, that means that market should return back to balance. There's just a little bit of steam coming out of that demand, and a lot of that work is starting to get done. For us, that's good because we talked about, we will do about 1.6 million jobs through our platform, and most of that comes from unpaid channels, and that's where trades can come into a platform and get the best return on investment for every advertising dollar that they spend in through our subscription. So I'm anticipating that balance to come through during Q4 and then, put us in a really, really good position in FY23. So really, really thinking about FY23. The other thing that's worth mentioning is that in the last election, which was around the same time in terms of calendar year, around May, it was just such an unusual time. The people are a bit nervous, just not knowing which government's going to come in and what their policies will have an impact to their lives. So we know it's quite a lot of fluctuation, but once that settles after May, I would expect the market to come back to some really good normal balance, which will be a good thing for Hipages.
Excellent. And then just one final question from me, please. Just if you could provide a little bit more colour around some of those additional flexibility features you've launched and then just the impact you're seeing from that, please.
Yeah, so Melissa called out that we're already seeing some nice green shoots in April, which is great to see. So we saw during the quarter the churn rates, spike a bit there, and, that's just not good. And what's really nice is that we have an excellent management team. We came together, did a bit of a war room, said, what can we give to our customers to help address some of the points that they're raising with us, particularly around being too busy. And first things that we did is we amplified our data science capabilities to help us identify signals from customers that indicate that they're likely to churn. And that's embedded and operationalized now, which is great. And we're going to continue to optimize that. So what that does, it gives you a signal whether a customer's about to churn. And sometimes it's little things that, you would know is a signal, but actually is a signal. And our data science capabilities are detecting that. And then the next thing is to be able to offer our customers offers. Now, historically, we've offered a pause feature, what we've done is we've built an extended pause feature. So we give them an ability to do a couple of pauses now, as well as a slightly extended pause. So it can go up to 2 months instead of 1 month. And that's just to handle that too busy comment that we've been getting from customers. So that's a nice feature. Additionally, what we've done is we've also embedded to improve the stickiness of the product. And actually, it's a good thing for Tradiecore is we've made Tradiecore for now a 6 month free trial for all customers. And that's getting some nice registrations and adoption as a trial for that product. So there's a couple of things that, we've done, but the monitoring and the ability to identify who's a churning customer in a more sophisticated way is certainly going to be helpful. And we are seeing that come through in April, which is the green shoots that Melissa's referring to. So it just talks to our ability to execute as a company and as a management team.
Excellent. Thanks, Robbie. That's all from me.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Piers Flanagan from Barrenjoey. Please go ahead.
Morning, Robbie and Melissa. Thanks for your time. Just a couple from me, if I could. Maybe just firstly on that Q4 growth comment, can I just clarify? So is that growth on the PCP across both recurring and total group revenue in line with Q3?
What we're saying is we would expect Q4 growth in PCP to be at a similar level as what we've reported for Q3.
Sure. And then just on some of those product features you talked about in the pauses, I mean, what sort of short-term financial impact do you see that having over Q4?
Yeah, I can take that. Just to expand a little bit on the flexibility, we had introduced the pause capability, when COVID first was, upon us. And what we had previously was we offered it for the 6 month contract for a period of time, and then it was available for 12 month contracts on an ongoing basis. But it wasn't really communicated from us in terms of a sales and a comms perspective to our customer base. So what we're now doing now is we have gone live with the 1 month pause feature for 6 month contracts and 2 month pause capability for 12 month contracts. And so that's just around kind of, we've done the data. We know that during COVID, tradies were too busy and requesting cancellations went up by 30%. We have seen that come down to more normalised levels over Q3, which is great. But I think what it shows us is we do need a bit of flexibility with our product because tradies can be busy for different reasons for a month or so. So we did a lot of research and that was something that they really valued. The pause take up is still very, very low. Like, I think it's just having those features there that tradies know that they can pause. They just value and it makes them feel more comfortable with the subscription product. So we any kind of forecast of increased pause we've taken into account with the kind of guidance that we've given.
Sure. And then just on the subscription growth, I mean, can you maybe talk about how we should think about that bouncing back? I mean, is it likely to bounce back to pre-COVID levels as conditions normalise, or is it more of a sort of a steady growth profile over, the balance of 22 and 23?
Yeah, so we've talked about the balance of 22. I think, looking ahead, definitely COVID has had an impact on our exit run rate, before COVID descended upon us. That said, we are seeing the green shoots, not giving guidance on 23, but we would expect 23 to return to, strong double-digit growth throughout the full financial year.
Sure. And then just the final one on paid advertising. I mean, as a percentage of jobs, that's come down. I mean, is it possible for that to come down again, or are you still going to stick to the company target of 25%?
Well, that's our target at 25%. At 21%, we're obviously below that. I think at that kind of low 20s is where we can maintain. We just pull back on paid spend as we need to balance the marketplace and our inorganic channels are still very strong. So we are, the benefit of that obviously is our EBITDA margins. So we are still delivering very strong EBITDA margins despite the softness in revenue due to COVID.
Great, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Elijah Meyer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Rory and Melissa. Thanks for the question. Just a quick couple from me. Maybe just on the tradie subscription growth, what do you guys need to see, I guess, from a macro level to improve those tradie subscription numbers that sort of been, I guess, quarter on quarter flat to down for the last few quarters. What would be sort of a key driver in improving that going forward?
I mean, I think not speaking specifically on metrics per se, but speaking around like economic conditions and environment. So in our situation, when there's huge amounts of demand, the situation results in trades being extremely busy. And that's generalising because there's a lot of new businesses that come in that still come in, and you know, like it's not like the trade registration disappears. That's not the case at all. There's something like 40,000 new entrants in the market, and you know, we still only have around 13% share of the trade. Span particularly focused on the sole trader side of things. So there's plenty of opportunity there. However, we can't all deny the fact, and it's quite well documented, how busy trades are, particularly impacted as well with a lot of weather events that's been happening recently, especially on the east coast of Australia, which has got some large population concentrations. But what we need to see is just some of that demand starting to settle down. And then what happens is trades start to think, okay, well, I need to start filling my books up with work. And when that work starts to dry up for them, they start coming in a lot more aggressively into the platforms that have the best ROI for them. And they talk to each other. They know where the work is coming from. And everyone knows that hipages is a brand in the industry. Has huge amounts of work, and the ROI is very compelling. When you compare it to other advertising options that are available to them, that may be more complicated or may be more expensive. So I know this is a long answer, but you know, there's a lot of factors to drive our position on that. And so if the demand starts to ease, certainly that means more businesses coming in, but more importantly as well is another driver for revenue for us is trades upgrading their subscription plans. So when they're too busy, they're not utilising all the credit that's available in their subscription. But, you know, when the work starts to dry up from their normal sources, like which is their repeat work, they actually start utilising their credit more aggressively. And that creates an ascension catalyst for us to start upgrading them to higher tier plans. And so, you know, obviously, there is a little bit of counter-cyclical behaviour going on, but we do definitely can see with what's happening and what we're hearing and what we're seeing abroad, that demand will start to ease in the coming months, and that will put us in a very strong position for FY23.
Now that's helpful. And then maybe just on EBITDA margin, to the extent you can comment on it, it was just noted that was strengthened, I guess, during the quarter. Is there any change, I guess, to the expectations previously noted around EBITDA margins in FY23 returning to FY21, or is there sort of some risk to that now that the top line was maybe a little slower than expected?
No, we're holding on that guidance. We're still delivering strong margins, and we expect to get back to those FY21 levels that were kind of plus 20%.
Excellent. And maybe just one final one, just maybe internally, employees, it's obviously well documented, particularly in the tech space, of cost inflation and retention being an issue. Are you guys seeing any increase in attrition rates for employees? And maybe just a comment on the cost inflation you're seeing at the salary and at the wage level.
Yeah, I'll take that one. That's a very topical conversation. You know, when we met recently at a conference and spoke to a number of CEOs, particularly tech-focused CEOs, that is 100% a major issue across the board. Recruiting, I would say there's zero unemployment, if there's such a concept of negative unemployment. It's just literally very difficult to hire technology people. But I would say not only that, it's across the board, it's operational type roles as well are quite challenging. So what it means is first of all, as an organisation, you really have to foster a strong culture. We also need to adopt or adapt to the new hybrid working models, which we're doing a relatively good job of. I'm pleased with that. You know, we've put that in place, and that's being well received. you know, where our tech roles are at. I think we're quite comfortable with that. Would we want it to be faster? Obviously we would, but, you know, we've done some pretty, you know, aggressive moves, competitiveness in salary, looking internationally to do our recruitment when others have not. You know, those things have been very effective for us, and we're always constantly reviewing that and doing employment engagement scores, reminding people about the strategy and where we're at and the success of the business, and people want to work for a winning organization, which we're doing a really good job of. So that's all driving, but you're right, it is going to have some cost implications, because obviously we're, you know, we've got an employee base, but, you know, we're managing that by offsetting it against some of our other costs where we're getting some nice efficiencies in, particularly around our marketing spend.
No problem. Appreciate the answers. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from, Johnny Hewan from ENP. Please go ahead.
Hi, both. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one I have is just on job volumes. Can you comment on maybe the unfulfilled jobs in Q3 and then also early on in Q4 as well?
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for the question. We don't give guidance on or indications of where unfulfilled rates are. Only thing I can say, though, is that the unfulfilled rates did go up in Q3, and that's due to the fact that the volume of jobs through the overall demand in the market has been just incredible. And so what we've been doing is, as you can see clearly in our metrics, is to pull back on some of the paid advertising. There's just no need to bring more jobs into a platform and then exacerbate unfulfilled rates. That's just not going to be good. It's not a good outcome for consumers as well. Sort of taints the experience that, you know, we're not making that commitment to not give you a fulfilled job. As the demand starts to ease and supply, you know, comes back to some sort of normal level and balance in the marketplace, that fulfill rate should improve meaningfully. That's probably the best guidance I can give right now on that.
Okay, thank you. And then the second question I had was just on the ARPU growth. Can you maybe give some detail on what that's made of in terms of, you know, maybe the size of customers or just the frequency and size of jobs?
Yeah, Mel, do you want to provide a little bit more color on that?
Yeah, sure. What's your question specifically, though?
Just on the ARPU growth, I just wanted to get like maybe some breakdown on the detail of what's driven that in terms of, is it, you know, the size of your customers getting larger or, you know, size and frequency of jobs?
Yeah, so it's more the ARPU growth that we're seeing now. If we look back over the last few years, our ARPU growth has been higher because we have been migrating from the lower value transactional customers to the higher value subscription customers. But that migration is now largely complete. So what you're seeing now is more of an organic level of growth here. What's driving it essentially is that we continue to bring customers on the platform at higher price points. So they're joining the platform at higher price points, and plus they also continue to ascend when they're on the platform. So that's across the board. We're bringing them on at high price points, and we've communicated we've got a team that's also focused on targeting the more medium to large size businesses that have more capacity, have more vans on the road, have more capacity for job volume. So therefore they go on the high packages as well.
Okay, thanks for that. And then the last one from me was just on any further developments in the commercial opportunities.
Do you mean the commercial opportunities as in like the commercial real estate space?
Just in the last year results, there's been a lot of talk on the commercial opportunities and, you know, all the various progress there. So I just wanted to know if there's any further developments in any of them.
So are you referring to the Bricks and Agent investment that, like in terms of commercial property management, or are you talking about partnership commercials? I just don't want
to... partnership commercial.
Partnership. Okay, cool. We have some partnerships that are in play for everyone that's listening. You know, we've got our partnerships with the Department of Education. We've got a partnership with Bunnings, IKEA. you know, we've also invested in Bricks and Agent and also have now done some partnership and integrations with Bricks and Agent as well. All of those partnerships are, you know, progressing as per normal. I have to say though, we are working with IKEA a lot more closely right now to develop a more integrated solution, and that build is in play right now. We're working with them to make a more seamless, better experience for customers that go into an IKEA store and require a kitchen installation. IKEA, I'm not sure if people know, does an incredible number of kitchen and cabinetry type work, we're going to be their preferred partner for that. So that's all progressing quite nicely. The integration with Stripe is on track. I think they've been testing it. It's rolling out into a number of applications. Hopefully by the end of the financial year, that will be done in Hipage itself. And then as indicated in the quarterly, we aim to get the Stripe implementation for payments into Tradiecore, which is an important feature as a field service software application.
Great. Thanks. That's all for me.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Peet from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Robbie and Melissa. Just one from me. Just on the churn, could you give us a little bit more colour maybe on what type of trader you're seeing churning off? Is it really skewed more to the sole operator and just geographically as well? Are you seeing much of a difference, obviously, with Northern New South Wales, Sydney, maybe southeast Queensland, flooding and damage, a lot of work probably in those areas. Are you seeing sort of elevated churn in those areas versus others?
Maybe I'll just give like more of a high level answer on that, and Mel, maybe if there's more detail you want to provide on that, then let's tackle it that way. So just on the first part, in terms of the churn, you know, majority of our customers are the sole traders. You know, we did see an elevation during the quarter in churn across most of the cohorts. So that's just an indication of just how busy the market was across the board. As I said, the flexible features that we came together as a management team to address and see if we can do some short-term stuff that is now embedded as part of the product from a longer-term perspective has certainly started to show some positive signs in April, and you know, we're obviously expecting that to continue through the Q4. In terms of the cohorts, there's a couple of cohorts that you need to think through. First of all, it's the age of the customer. So in subscription models, earlier tenure customers generally have a higher churn than longer tenure customers. So tenure is like an area that you need to focus on. So if you can improve your churn on your first period customers, your overall churn improves. And then you start looking at the cohorts of, you know, by spend. And historically, the lowest spend customers have also been a higher churn, which is statistically normal. There's a lot of benchmark data out there. There's an organization called ProfitWell that provides huge amounts of data on churn rates and different types of technology businesses, which is worth reviewing as a comparison. And, you know, we're very much doing quite well when you do the benchmarking against what they're presenting in terms of the data. And then in terms of your question around geography, I haven't seen anything too unusual. To be fair, we haven't gone too deep into that. Usually those weather events, whilst they're frustrating and, you know, cause, you know, short-term fluctuations, over the medium term, that's not the case. So, I don't anticipate that there's much of an impact due to the geography type churn. It's usually the tenure of the customer and the size, business size, or in terms of the spend of customer that you can see the different fluctuations in churn.
Yeah, just to expand on that, so with regard to the size of customer, when our churn went up due to tradies being too busy, it was across the board. It wasn't specific to one cohort. And then again, when we look to April and we're seeing the churn come down, then we're seeing that kind of consistently again across the board.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Sharon Zipser for closing remarks.
So just closing remarks is, look, we've achieved growth. I think it's important to remind everyone that Hipages is a positive operating cash flow business. We have a very healthy balance sheet. We are seeing some nice green shoots come through. You know, we're expecting the market to return to balance and looking forward to, you know, a really good FY23. So I appreciate everyone's time. Thank you and have a wonderful day. Have a good one. Bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.